It was 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and the barman was ready for the usual collection of revelers, lost causes, and unclaimed souls that would wander in and have to be shooed out at closing. In his 5 years tending bar at the Four Crowns, he figured he had seen every type you could imagine from every country on earth. So when the gaunt man walked in, he was a little taken aback. The newcomer was tall, easily 2 meters, but couldn't have weighed more than 6 or 7 stone. The gaunt man was dressed in threadbare pants and a black hoodie, the hood pulled low enough to obscure most of his face. The barman wondered if this might be a robbery and wished the fellow well because he had a cudgel under the bar that had been a gift from his great uncle in Dublin. Besides, what sort of person robs a pub on Christmas Eve? The gaunt man approached the bar, and the barman detected a wheeze. The gaunt man placed a very bony hand upon the bar as if to steady himself. A good bartender knows when to keep his mouth shut, and you never addressed a fellow's looks or his infirmity. If they wanted to share what was ailing them, they would let you know soon enough. "Happy Christmas to you, sir. What can I get you?" the barman asked politely. The barman had set up candles to make the place more festive, and an occasional flicker seemed to hint at a large grin underneath the hoodie. The gaunt man pointed to a bottle of single malt. The barman retrieved the bottle. "This, then?" he asked, wanting to make sure. The slightest inclination of the hood. A nod, then. The barman poured the gaunt man 2 fingers of scotch, then looked at him. A bony finger pointed to the top of the glass. The barman filled it, and the gaunt man put a coin down on the counter. As the barman was picking it up, the gaunt man took his drink and the bottle to a booth far and back, where even bright lights or sunshine never seemed to penetrate. The barman looked at the coin, which was a gold sovereign from 1843. That had to be far too much. Sure, it was Christmas, but a coin like this must be worth 100 pounds or more. Perhaps the gaunt man was a rich eccentric, or perhaps he meant to pay for several rounds with friends not yet arrived. Deciding they could settle up when the gaunt man was leaving, the barman put the coin in a special compartment near the register where he kept large bills and once a diamond engagement ring. Shaking his head, the barman wondered if the coin might bring enough for him to buy his girl that dress she wanted. In the back, the gaunt man drank his scotch in silence. Outside, the entire transaction had been witnessed by the laughing man and the pale girl. The laughing man was tall, though not as tall as the gaunt man, but he was of an enormous girth, reaching easily 24 stone. He had bright red hair, a full beard, and a mustache that curled up at the ends quite on their own. He was dressed in a simple suit with a top coat with a fur collar. He carried a walking stick with a boar's head on the handle. On his head was a bowler hat with a sprig of mistletoe in the band. The pale girl was 7 or 8 and quite lovely. Her hair was such a pale blonde as to be nearly white, and her eyes were a solemn gray of an overcast sea. She was dressed in a pale blue velvet dress and a tiny top coat that had a sprig of holly on the lapel. In one pale hand was a small valise. The laughing man frowned, something he did not do often. "I say, has he been here every night?" His voice was a pleasant baritone, one suitable for announcers and radio personalities. "Different bars, but always in the back, where it's darkest." "Alone?" She nodded. "For over a week now," she said. Her voice was soft but mellifluous, the sort of voice an angel might have. The laughing man shook his head, not at all happy. "If something is troubling him, why not come to us?" "Perhaps he is too proud," said the pale girl. "Perhaps he is afraid." "Him afraid?" Now the laughing man did laugh, a hearty booming guffaw that caused passerbys to laugh and wave. The laughing man tipped his hat to them and bent down to the pale girl. "How can he be afraid? He is fear incarnate. He is the writer of the nightmare." The pale girl looked up at him and nodded. "But we are his family, and so we have a special place in his heart. A spot where fear might yet reside, and sadness." "But what is he sad about? What ails him?" asked the laughing man. But instead of answering, the pale girl was heading into the bar, and the laughing man had to hurry to catch up. The gaunt man did not look up when the laughing man and the pale girl entered the bar. He had known the minute they began peering at him through the window. It didn't make him angry. In truth, nothing could penetrate this miasma of sadness that settled on him like a pernicious fog. The barman pointed to the pale girl while addressing the laughing man. "No kids allowed in this establishment, sir." The laughing man turned to the bar in a motion that was quick and surprisingly nimble for one of his size. He motioned the barman to come closer with a conspiratorial gesture. The barman drew close, and the laughing man lowered his voice. "That's my brother," he said in what seemed genuine sadness, "and that's his little girl, my niece. We're trying to get him to come home for Christmas. I thought she might be more persuasive, you see, and..." The barman nodded. "Just make it quick. I don't want to be sacked on Christmas Eve." The laughing man nodded and then produced a coin with a flourish. "For your trouble." The two walked toward the back, and the barman looked at the coin. "Gold sovereign, 1843. Now he was a bit worried. What if these coins were stolen, perhaps from a rich collector with ties to the police and the mayor? But if they were, wouldn't they have just spent regular money or wanted change? And him letting a family talk on Christmas Eve was hardly worth 100 or so pounds. The laughing man and the pale girl sat opposite the gaunt man. Normally, no one would be able to sit next to the laughing man in such a small space, but he did not have his great coat on, and the pale girl was no larger than a wisp. The gaunt man raised his glass in an ironic toast and drained it. The pale girl tugged on the laughing man's sleeve, and he inclined his head. She whispered in his ear, and he listened, then went pale. "Emily says you want to quit," the laughing man said, gesturing to the pale girl. It was not her real name. They had been in their respective positions so long they had forgotten their true names. The pale girl had decided that she liked the sound of Emily, at least for now, and had asked that they call her that when it was just the three. Doting on her as they always did, they let her christen them Uncle Marbletown, the gaunt man, and Uncle Greathorn, the laughing man. "It's true, isn't it, Uncle Marbletown?" she asked, her tiny forehead suddenly lined with worry wrinkles. The gaunt man sighed, and the temperature in the bar plummeted 10 degrees. Several patrons gathered their coats tighter around them, and the barman checked the thermostat. "But surely you know you can't quit," protested the laughing man. "If you go, none of it works, and we shall all be in peril." "Unhappy," the gaunt man wheezed, and a mouse under the table with a crust of bread became so despondent, it rushed home to check on its family, leaving the choice morsel behind. The gaunt man reached for the bottle, but it was empty. He motioned to the barman, but that good fellow was too busy seeing to a group of students who were ushering in Christmas with spirits. The gaunt man excused himself and went to fetch another bottle. Liquor had little effect on him, and his gait was unimpeded, save for the fact that his hooded head hung low. The laughing man shook his head. "What will the august company say?" he asked worriedly. "And what about the author?" The pale girl patted the laughing man's ruddy face. "It's all right," she said, smiling sweetly. "I have an idea." "What sort of idea, my dear?" "You and I are going to give him a Christmas present." "But he doesn't need anything." Doesn't he? She asked and smiled. The gaunt man returned with his bottle and a glass for the laughing man. He also had a hot cocoa for the pale girl, who sipped it gratefully. She wiped some whipped cream from the end of her nose and regarded her gaunt uncle with solemnity. "You're tired of being the gaunt man, aren't you?" There was a long pause, and then the gaunt man nodded. "You'd like a try at something else, perhaps something cheerier?" Now he looked at them, and his eyes burned like coals. Any mortal would have been afraid, but there were none such in that little booth that night. "But he is the gaunt man," the laughing man protested. "He always has been." "But nothing says he has to be," the pale girl said. "There's nothing that says we can't trade off." The two adults looked at her thunderstruck. It was an idea that might only occur to a child, and its wisdom and simplicity were as sublime as the pearlescent gray of her eyes. The laughing man slowly grinned, then laughed a great laugh. The candles in the bar burned more merrily. The barman discovered to his shock that the far end of the bar was suddenly laden with a lavish Christmas feast. He called his girlfriend as the patrons began to help themselves. In the rear of the four crowns, the three regarded one another. A moment of wordless communication passed, and then they nodded. The barman looked up as they left. He had meant to bring up the coins, but thought perhaps he had imagined them, for here the patrons from the back were leaving, and they seemed so very different from what he remembered. In front was a pale boy with red hair. Behind him came an immensely large man with blonde hair and a beard, looking like something out of Norse mythology. And bringing up the rear was a tall woman, impossibly old and gaunt, her hooded cloak pulled tight around her, her face in shadow. "Happy Christmas," the barman called, and the gaunt woman tossed him his third gold sovereign. And as the revelers of the four crowns began to sing of good King Wenceslas, the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future went out into the night.